Good morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start to our service of worship today by singing together the Psalm 103. The Psalm 103, you'll find it on the page 94 of your hymn book. We're just going to sing the first five verses of the psalm. It's a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. The psalmist says, "O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless." Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, standing as we sing, and let us each one sing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing. Just seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Let us look to the Lord, praying for his help and blessing in our worship and our service today. Our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice today in the goodness of our God that finds us here in thy house today to praise thee and to worship thee. And Father, we come to thee, no merit of our own. We realize that in and of ourselves there dwelleth no good thing. Lord, thy word declares that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, God, we thank thee for one who was perfect today, one who was sinless, one who was without spot, the altogether lovely one, the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who was the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank thee for him coming into this world to be our mediator. And we thank thee, O God, that thy word tells us that the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. We realize, O God, that he walked amongst men. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And Father, we thank thee that he went willingly in accordance with thy great plan and purpose, O God, of redemption. He went willingly to the cross. And there he suffered. There he bled and died. There he poured out his life unto death, even the death of the cross. And Father, we thank thee that he cried out, "It is finished." And he took upon himself the wrath, the judgment of God that we deserve for our sins. He became our substitute. He died. Thy word says the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And O God, we thank thee that he rose again victorious the third day, that he triumphed over death, over hell, over the grave. We thank thee that he made a full and a complete atonement for sin. And Father, we thank Thee today that Christ is alive forevermore. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that He is seated at Thy right hand in heaven's glory. And Father, we praise Thee that there He intercedes for the people of God. And Lord, we thank Thee that we can come to Thee today through Him, none daring to make us afraid. Through Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we thank Thee that Christ shed His blood, that we thank Thee that He kept the law of God perfectly for us. And Father, we thank Thee that through that precious blood that He shed upon the cross, there is cleansing from sin. There is pardon for all of our sins, even as the psalmist could praise Thee, and even as we've been singing, how He could say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." We thank Thee for all the mercies of God that Thou dost give to us in Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. And we rejoice, O God, today as Thy people in the joy and knowledge of sins forgiven, blotted out through the blood of Christ, through the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we thank Thee today that we have been redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Father, we thank Thee that Christ has said, because He lives, that we shall live also. We thank the Lord for each one in this gathering who has trusted Christ as their Savior, who knows the joy of sins forgiven, who has that great hope of everlasting life within their soul. We thank Thee for abundant life in Christ. We thank Thee for eternal life in Christ. And Father, we thank Thee that as Thy people, we can look forward to heaven, look forward to glory, to being with Christ, to being like Christ, even forevermore. And O God, as we come before Thee today, we return Thee thanks for every good and every perfect gift. We thank Thee, Lord, for all the temporal mercies and blessings of life. And we thank Thee, Father, that we can meet together here in this fashion around Thy word in freedom and in liberty with Thy people and with the saints of God. And Lord, bless our coming together here today. We realize, Lord, that it is the presence of God that makes the feast. And we pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God with power upon our gathering today, upon every heart, from the very youngest to the oldest in the meeting. May we know and hear each one the speaking voice of God saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." We thank Thee for all who have been able to gather with us today. We pray that Thou would bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Remember every child of Thine, encourage and strengthen every believer in the Lord. Bless, Lord, Thy people who may be going through times of trial and difficulty. Lord, give them strength and help, we pray. Give them encouragement. And for others maybe needing guidance and direction, teach them Thy way. We thank Thee that we can say, as for God, His way is perfect. And Lord, for any maybe cold at heart, maybe walking afar from Thee, Lord, draw them afresh to Thyself, back to that center of Thy will for their lives, to that place where Thou canst bless them and use them for the glory of the Lord. And Lord, for any with us today not saved, we pray especially, Lord, for them, that Thou wilt speak to them and that they might come to know and to trust Christ and to rest upon Christ alone for salvation. We thank Thee that we're in the day of grace, that we're in the day of opportunity. And Lord, You have said in Thy word that him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. We pray for those who may be listening in online as well, that Thou will bless them and minister to them by the grace and by the power of God divine. We pray for every family and household, Lord, connected with our church and congregation. Do bless Thy people. Unite every household in the Lord. Meet the need of every home. We think of those unable to join with us today because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them, minister to them, lay on Thy healing hand, and give them strength and help day by day, we ask. For those that have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, comfort their hearts. Fill the vacant chair with the presence of God. May they know that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Savior. Bless every outreach from this church, Lord. Remember the children's work, the youth work. Remember the door-to-door outreach, the online ministry, the telephone ministry, the work amongst the boys and girls in the Sunday school and Bible class. Bless every effort, we ask of Thee, and use these, Lord, means, we pray, in the hand of God, even to save souls and to point souls to the Savior, whom to know is life eternal. We thank Thee for the meeting of Tuesday night past. Bless Joyce, she labors for Thee in Nepal. Meet her every need and encourage her in that land, and bless those who labor with her. Bless her church denomination out there, we pray. And Lord, add unto the work such as should be saved. Grant peace and stability in that land, we pray. And Father, we pray that Thou would further the gospel there. Oh God, we ask. Remember, Heavenly Father, O God, our nation here at this time. Have mercy, Lord, upon it. And we do pray, O God, for the overthrowing of the works of darkness. We pray, Lord, that we would see days of refreshing and revival from the presence of God. Lord, remember, Lord, those that rule over us in our land and in our nation. Lord, you have said in Thy word that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And Lord, we confess our sins before Thee as a land and as a nation. We pray that Thou would stem the tide of evil. And even, Lord, those in government who would seek to promote that which is evil and contrary to Your word, we pray that Thou would, Lord, as it were, put a roadblock in their plans and bring their schemes, O God, to nothing. And Lord, we pray that throughout our land there might be that hunger again for Thy word and for Thy truth, we ask. We pray for our royal family. Have mercy upon them. Lord, You have commanded us in Thy word to pray for kings and all that are in authority. We pray that Thou will have mercy, Lord, upon them, and that the light of Thy truth and the light of the gospel will shine into that household. And even those in our government not saved, speak to them. And Lord, save them by the grace and power of God, and change their hearts and their lives and their thinking, even the very direction of their lives, we pray. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art able. We pray, Heavenly Father, today for the land of Ukraine. Grant peace and stability in that land. We pray that Thou would drive Putin and his army from that land, we pray. And Father, we pray especially for those in great need at this time. Meet their needs. Bless the witness of Thy people in that land. Protect them, keep them safe. And Lord, use their testimony even to speak to others, Lord, and to win others to the Savior at this time, we pray. Abide with us now. Do our hearts much good. And Lord, grant us Thy help and Thy blessing. And may we leave Thy house today knowing of a truth that it was good to be here. For here we met with Thee, our God and our Savior. And Father, we pray that even today that Thou would visit this house, even, Lord, with Thy salvation. Answer prayer. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 68 in your hymn book, the hymn number 68. You'll find it in the page 203 of your hymn book. Hail Thou once, despised Jesus, hail Thou Galilean King. Thou didst suffer to release us, Thou didst free salvation bring. Hail Thou agonizing Savior, bear off our sin and shame. By Thy merits we find favor, life is given through Thy name. Hymn number 68 on the page 203, standing as we sing, singing it out with all of our hearts.
Salvation.
If you have your Bible with you this morning, we'd ask you to turn to the book of the Psalms, to the Psalm 132 for our Bible reading this morning. We're reading from the book of the Psalms, Psalm 132, just beginning our reading at verse 1 of that Psalm and reading it through in its entirety. Psalm 132 and the verse number 1, let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. I swear unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes nor slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we have heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I shall teach them, their children also shall sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath declared it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 18, and our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. Good to see all who have gathered with us today. We bid you all a very warm and sincere word of welcome in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all have gathered. Our prayers the Lord will bless you today. If you're a believer, may you be encouraged and strengthened in the ways of God. And if you're here today and you're not saved, our prayer burden is that you'll come even today to Christ, trust him, and go home rejoicing in God's so great salvation. And if you're visiting with us, we extend to you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. And also for those who may be listening in online today, whoever you are, wherever you might be, we thank you for joining with us also. And we pray that God will draw near to your heart today through his word and meet you also at the very point of your need. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 in the prayer room at the back there. We encourage as many as possible of the Lord's people to gather for prayer before the service, just to seek the Lord for his help and blessing in the preaching and the ministry of his word. So do remember that, please. The gospel meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. We encourage you to come back again, bring others with you, and invite others along. We belong to minister God's word, so do remember that, please. Tomorrow afternoon, meeting here at the church car park at 2 p.m. For the door-to-door outreach. Be much in prayer for that. And if you are able to join with us, then we'll be delighted to see you tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow night as well, here in the church, 8 p.m., is the monthly ladies' fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the ladies. Trust as many as possible what will gather for that time of fellowship. Do make it known and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word in that time of fellowship. And our sister, Mrs. Elaine Power, will be the speaker tomorrow evening. So be much in prayer for her as she comes to minister God's word at the ladies' fellowship meeting. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study here in the church. The prayer meeting will be taken by a brother, Mr. Stephen Crawford, a final year student from the Whitfield College of the Bible. So do come along and encourage our brother as he conducts that meeting on Tuesday night. I'll be taking a deputation meeting up in our Mull of Glass Church for the work of Consider Christ, and value prayer for that as well on Tuesday night. Also here on Tuesday night, after the prayer meeting, there'll be a short session meeting at 9:30, and ask the members of session just to remember that, please, on Tuesday night at 9:30. Friday night, 8 p.m., is the Easter Convention Youth and Missionaries meeting. That's on again after a two-year break, so remember that. Pray for that meeting and do go along. The Reverend Ian Harris will be the preacher. There'll be various mission reports and singing as well on Friday night. And also our youth fellowship are travelling up by bus to that service. We commend that to all the young people and all planning to go by bus. I know there's some going in cars, but if you're planning to go by bus, would you please put your name on the sheet out there on the table in the porch as soon as possible. Really would need all those names on by today for the young people that are going by bus. So do remember that, please. Next Lord's Day, the 17th of April, is our Easter services. The Sunday School and Bible class will be off next week due to the holiday season. In the morning Easter service will be at 12 noon, and the evening gospel service at 7 p.m. Both services preceded by the half of prayer, and I belong to take both meetings. And Monday night, the 18th of April, at 7 p.m., the Easter Convention meetings again in the Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast. And the preacher there will be the Reverend John Armstrong, moderator, and there'll be various mission reports and ministries and song as well. So remember that meeting as well in the Martyrs on the Easter Monday night, and do go along and support that. Saturday, the 23rd of April, is the Consider Christ Outreach to County Cavan. Pray for that. And if anyone wishes to go, do let us know about that. Also, Saturday, the 30th of April, is a day of prayer for the work of Christian education in our Portadown Church. Sessions are at 10:30 a.m. and 2 p.m., and you'll be most welcome there on that occasion. Lord's Day, the 24th of April, will be our annual Missionary Sunday here in the church. The morning speaker at 12 noon is the Reverend David Park from the Missionary Council, and then at 7 p.m., the guest speaker is our brother, Mr. Chris Killen, who works with those involved in drug addiction. He'll be speaking, preaching, giving a report, and there'll also be an offering for his work on that occasion. Tuesday night, the 3rd of May at 8 p.m., there's a special meeting for all communicant members here in the church. This is really in compliance with the new regulations and laws regarding a charity commission. And there will be a vote that night to adopt the church's constitution for charity commission regulations, and also be another vote for all existing elders to become property holding trustees. And this is all in compliance with the new charity regulation laws. There is copies there of the constitution of the church out on the table in the hall. Anybody, any questions about that, speak to myself or any member of session. And also anyone wishing a postal vote on that occasion, do contact our clerk of session as soon as possible. In Aroma Church on Friday night, the 22nd of April, 8 p.m., there's a special missionary meeting for Uganda. The preacher there, the Reverend David McMillan. And then on Saturday night, the 23rd of April, in Aroma Church at 8 p.m., there's a youth rally. All young people are welcome. And the Reverend Ryan McKee is the speaker. The offering for our sister, Miss Joy Gillespie, who was with us last week, came to £1,007. Want to thank you sincerely in the Lord for your giving and your generosity to this offering. Do also note that the children's meetings will be off now to after the Easter break, so do remember that. And do please pray for the Cairns family. I'm sure most of you maybe have heard that our brother, the Reverend Harry Cairns, went home to be with the Lord this past week. He was our minister for many years in Oma Church, and a faithful servant of the Lord. And we thank God for every remembrance of our brother, but do pray for the family that they'll know much of God's comfort and grace in the days that lie ahead. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 29, on the page 187. The page 187, hymn number 29, O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright, on thee the high and lowly through ages, joined in tune, sing holy, holy, holy to the great God triune. A wonderful hymn, great words of truth, reminding us here of the great blessing of the Lord's day, that day set aside for the worship of the Lord. Hymn number 29 on the page 187, keeping our seats while we sing. The final verse. Turn again, please, to that psalm that we read earlier, to Psalm 132. Let us just unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come now to consider Thy Word for a season, our prayer is, O God, that our hearts might be opened up even like Lydia's of old, by the Spirit and by the power of God divine, and that we might give heed unto Thy Word, unto Thy truth, may it be written indelibly upon our hearts, upon our souls today. And may Thy Word be used to make souls wise unto salvation. May Thy Word be used, O God, to bless and to build up the saints of God. And Lord, may Thy Word and everything that is said and done redound to the glory and to the honor of our Savior. To this end, I undertake for us in the ministry of Thy Word. We realize that in and of ourselves, we are nothing. Yet, Lord, you have said in Thy Word that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Pour out thy Spirit, Lord, upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Do every heart much good, and exalt and magnify thy name, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Now, Psalm 132 was an appropriate psalm for Israel to sing as they went up to worship the Lord in the temple and Jerusalem. This is because it is a psalm that really has much to say about the matter of public worship. Most Bible commentators are agreed that both David and his son Solomon were responsible, or if you like, had a hand under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit in the writing of the psalm. There's much in it about the worship of God in the temple at Jerusalem. In the opening part of the psalm, we read there of David's desire to build the temple, and you see that expressed in verses 4 and 5 of the psalm, where he says, I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. And of course, that desire was accomplished during the reign of his son Solomon that was to follow after David. Then in the middle part of the psalm, we see there a prayer for the bringing of the Ark of the Covenant into the Jewish temple. And you see that desire expressed there again in verse 8 of the psalm, where it says, Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. And in the Old Testament time, the Ark of the Covenant was really a symbol of God's presence and God's power, and indeed the Word of God amongst the people of God. First, yes, it was housed in the tabernacle during the wilderness journeys of Israel to the Promised Land. And then whenever the temple was made and built, the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was to be placed there as a center in the worship of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then in the remainder of the psalm, we read there really of God's blessing upon his people in the place of worship. And you see that highlighted in verses 13 to 16 of the psalm, where the psalmist says, For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. And that speaks of blessing upon God's people in the place of worship. And that is a great principle set before us in the Word of God. When His people meet together faithfully to worship the Lord, there will always be blessing in its wake upon the people of God and upon the church of Christ. Therefore, the psalm then before us has much to say to God's people about the matter of public worship of God. Now today, dear people, we see the public worship of God being neglected more and more in our society. Also, all kinds of worldly entertainment are being introduced into the place of worship. Sadly, also, many professing Christians have become careless and indifferent in their attendance at the house of God. And for this, there's a multiplicity of excuses. But in neglecting God's house, such are neglecting the clear command of God's Word for His people to meet together for public worship. You see, people, the Word of God leaves us in no doubt whatsoever that God's people are to meet together for public worship. This is for their spiritual good. This is for their mutual benefit and spiritual edification. Indeed, by such an ordinance that has been ordained by God, Christians, yes, have been blessed down throughout the ages of time. Not only have they been blessed, but the cause of Christ and the cause of God and the cause of the gospel has been forwarded and strengthened and indeed sustained down throughout the ages of time. This is something that cannot be gainsaid. This is something that cannot be dismissed by the modern thinking of man or the modern thoughts of professing believers in Christ. It is a fact. It is a fact of history that God has blessed His people as they've met together to worship the Lord. And God's cause has been strengthened and prospered and has been advanced in this evil and in this ungodly world. And that being so, then it's vital that we look at the psalm together this morning and see what it would teach us afresh as God's people regarding the matter of the public worship of God. Notice first of all here with me the importance of public worship. And we see the importance of public worship through David's concern for the place of worship. And he expresses that concern in verses 1 and 2 of the psalm. When he says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Such was David's concern for the worship of God that he made a vow before the Lord regarding that worship. Indeed, in connection with this concern, we see how, from the Scriptures, how David brought the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem, where the temple was to be built. In the book of 2 Samuel, he says, how shall the Ark of the Lord come to me? And then also, during his reign as king in Israel, he put his hand to the work and he gathered together materials in preparation for the building of the temple of God in Jerusalem. Turn with me back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 22 and the verse number 5, and you'll see this. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and the verse number 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David, notice it, prepared abundantly before his death, before his time on earth was up and his time of service for God was over on earth. David prepared abundantly for the building and the erection of the tabernacle of worship and the city of Jerusalem. And my David's concern here, it really shows us that he realized, people, the importance of public worship. He knew that such was for the spiritual good of God's people. And people, that's what we see in the Old Testament, and that same thought is transferred right over into the New Testament Scriptures as well. Turn with me over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And this applies to the New Testament church, to God's believing people today. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and verse number 25. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. And that phrase, the day approaching, speaks of the return of Christ. The coming back of the Lord. In other words, God's people are to be diligent about this, and that diligent is to increase even as the coming of the Lord returns and as Christ comes back again, as that return of Christ nears. God's people are to be so guarded and so diligent about this matter of public worship. Brethren and sisters in Christ, such is the value, such is the benefit, such as the blessing of public worship, that God says, the Word of God says, that you and I as believers are not to forsake God's house. We are not to forsake the place of public worship where God's people gather together to worship the Lord. Some 50 years ago, in 1972, this building where we sit in this morning was open for this very purpose. For the spiritual edification of God's people through public worship. And my here, yes, we can meet together to worship God in a place that is separate from the world. A place that is separate from modernism.
A place that is separate from the ecumenical movement. A place that is separate from the end time apostasy. And apostasy is a departure from the Word of God. And by the importance, yes, of worship is further highlighted here by David in the Psalm, by his prompt attention to build the temple. Look at what he says further on down in verses 3, 4, and 5 of the Psalm. He says, "Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob." Here you see, such was the concern of David's heart for a place of public worship that to him it was more important than his own personal needs in his own house and his own sleep and his own slumber. He says, "I will not, as it were, go up into mine own house till I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob." You see, the burden of David's heart here was to build the temple at Jerusalem. And brethren and sisters in Christ, let us follow here David in this matter. And may our chief business, may our chief burden as God's people be the place of public worship, also as the people of God. That's really what we can say of David here. This was his chief desire. This was his chief burden, the place of public worship, where God's people would join together. And that should be our chief burden, our chief desire in life as God's people. Remember what Christ said to the disciples. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God is to be first. His work is to be first. His day is to be first. His house is to be first in our lives as God's people. And child of God, yes, you and I, we are to support the place of public worship. How? By our prayers, by our intercessions. That's why the prayer meetings are so important. Paul says to God's people, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication for all sins." We also support the place of public worship, but by our giving, as God has blessed us and prospered us. The Bible says, "Upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And then we also support the place of worship by our presence, by our attendance. And Christian, one of the greatest and most important ministries that you can be involved in as a Christian is just being in God's house on the Lord's day. Being in your place, being in the church pew, being with God's people as they gather together around the Word of God. And this is how we support the place of public worship, by our presence, by our attendance. And this is something people we see emphasized throughout the Bible, and especially in the New Testament. Turn with me over, please, to the book of the Acts, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and you'll see this thread going right through the book of the Acts. God's people meeting together. Look at Acts chapter 1 and the verse number 4. Here you read of the resurrected Christ meeting with the believers in the upper room shortly before his ascension up into heaven. And it says in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." Notice the emphasis there, being assembled together with them. They were gathered together, just a little band of people, the believers in Christ. Perhaps there was children there, and how good it is to see children in God's house and to bring our children to the place of worship, no matter how young they are, how vital, how important that is. And then go on over to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. You see again the same thought. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." Notice it, in breaking of bread and prayers. They were meeting together and fellowship around God's word. Go on over to chapter 4 and the verse number 31. Again, you'll see the same thought. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken," notice it, "where they were assembled together." Notice that phrase there, "where they were assembled together." They were together to worship the Lord. And then if you go on over to chapter 10 and the verse number 33, you'll see it again in the house of Cornelius. Peter went there to preach the word of God, and they gathered to worship, to hear God's word. It says in the latter part of Acts 10, verse 33, Cornelius is speaking to Peter. He says, "Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Notice it, we are all here present. They were present there that day to hear the word of God, to meet together around the word of God. They gather together in attendance at the public means of grace. And people, that is vital, that is fundamental to the life of every Christian and to the life of every branch of Christ's church here on earth. Something that is not to be neglected, something that is not to be dismissed and to be counted as unimportant. People, you think today of the British mainland, the mainland of Britain across the water, and you go there on holidays or business or work, and you see many, many, many church buildings where the word of God was once faithfully preached and proclaimed, where people met together to worship the Lord, but those buildings are now closed. They're derelict, maybe changed into nightclubs, private homes, restaurants, whatever, for some other function. How sad, how tragic that is. People, God forbid that that should happen here. When public worship is forsaken in an area, what happens is the light of God's truth and the light of the gospel, it burns very dimly. The result is a godless generation who know not the Lord. And also neglect of God's house, it leads to spiritual decay amongst God's people and the saints of God, that has an adverse effect upon them. Frances Ridley Havergill, that famous hymn writer of a bygone day, she said these words. She says, "An avoidable absence from church is an infallible proof of spiritual decay and spiritual decline." You know, she was right. Whenever Nehemiah was ministering in his day, he spoke to the children of Israel, and he put this question to them. And the question was this: why is the house of the Lord forsaken? People, God forbid that the Lord should ever have to ask that question of you and I as God's people. We see here the importance, people, of public worship. But notice, secondly here, not only the importance of public worship, notice the focus of public worship. Look at verse 7 of the psalm. Notice what it says there. It says, "We will go into His tabernacles. We will worship," notice, "at His footstool." And notice the reference there to His there. The psalmist is speaking about the Lord. And there you see that David's desire in building a temple was a place where Israel could worship the Lord. He says there, "We will go into His tabernacles. We will worship at His footstool." It was so that they could worship the Lord, that the Lord could be the focus of their worship. Likewise, people of God, can I say the worship of the Lord should be our primary focus when we come together for our regular church services on the Lord's Day. Yes, today we're gathered here in this fashion. What for? To worship God, our Heavenly Father. To worship our Savior, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to worship God, worship His Son, worship the Triune God by our prayers, by our praises, by the reading of God's Word, by the preaching of God's Word. This is something that God sets forth for us in the Bible. And as we worship the Lord, we are to do so with our hearts, with our affections. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And that word spirit there, it speaks of our hearts, our minds, our wills, our affections being engaged in the worship of the Lord. Also, we're to worship the Lord in holiness. The psalmist says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." This means, yes, that our worship must be in accordance with God's word, in accordance with God's truth. Again, in the Gospel of John, it says, "They that worship Him must worship Him in truth." Our worship must be in accordance with the Word of God, not what we think, not what ideas man may have. That must be in accordance with the Word of God. And all our worship is to be offered through the name
and through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, who suffered, who bled and died for our salvation upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Let me make it clear this morning that biblical worship is not about teaching the mere philosophies and political ideals of man. It's not about that. It's not about the promotion of self or of man. It's not about drama. It's not about entertainment. It's not about sport. It's not about what we can get, as it were, out of it for ourselves. No. Rather, public worship is about us giving of our worship to the Lord, a rendering of our hearts' worship to the Lord. With our hearts, our affections, with our adoration and worship and praise of the Lord and godly fear in accordance with the Word of God and the truth of the Scriptures. Oh, think of the words of Paul to young Timothy, a pastor in the church in Ephesus. And what was Paul's counsel to him? Remember, Paul was an aged man. He was a man of experience. Yet what did he say to young Timothy? He said, Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. In other words, Timothy, in your worship, make much of the word of God. And that's what we're to do. The hymn writer says, O worship the King, all glorious above. O gratefully sing his power and his love. O tell of his might. O sing of his grace. And people, in all our worship, there's but one person is to have the preeminence, and that is Christ. And Christ and Christ alone, for he is the only King. He is the only head of the church. Believer, every time you and I come to the place of public worship, may the prayer and the burden of our heart be to worship the Lord, as the Bible says, in spirit and in truth. That's why we come to the Lord's house and the Lord's day, to worship the Lord, to give of our worship to the Lord for all that he has done for us in Christ, our Savior and our Lord. The importance of public worship, the focus of public worship. Notice one final thing from this psalm. Notice the prayer for public worship. Look at verses 8 and 9 of the psalm and notice what the psalmist prays. He says, Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou in the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. Notice those words there, Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. And that shows that the psalmist was praying for the Lord's presence among his people as they came together to worship. And people of God, that should be our chief prayer, because every time we meet together for public worship, we should pray, yes, that the Lord would draw near, that we would know the presence of the Lord with us and among us. Think of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. What was their prayer to Christ? It was this, Lord, abide with us. Oh, people, the Lord's presence in our worship is absolutely vital. For without the Lord's presence, there can be no blessing. This is something we should seek for, pray for every time we come to God's house, the presence of the Lord to be known. And then in verse 8, you see something else there. The psalmist, he speaks of the ark of thy strength. And with those words, he was praying that God's people would be strengthened by the Lord's presence, by the Lord's grace in their time of worship, that they would know that spiritual strength. And child of God, in praying for our seasons of public worship, we should pray, yes, that God's people would be strengthened in their faith and in their walk with God, through the Lord's presence, through his grace, and through his word, and through the promises of God's word. This is something that you and I have good warrant to pray for every time we come to God's house. Turn with me in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And look at verse 29 and verse number 31. Notice what it says. It speaks of the Lord strengthening his people. It says, He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise from the Lord about strengthening his people. And that's something we should pray for
as we gather together in our worship, there'll be that strengthening work done in the hearts of God's people by His grace through His Word. Then you look again at the psalm before us, Psalm 132, verse 9. You see that the psalmist also prays there in verse 9. The beginning of that verse, he says, "Let the priests be clothed," he says, with righteousness. And here the psalmist is praying that by the Lord's presence and grace that His people would be sanctified more and more. That they would be made more holy. That they would be made more like Christ. That they would conform more and more to the image of Christ. And again, Christian, this is what you and I should also pray for in our times of worship. We should pray, yes, that we as God's people would be made more holy, more like Christ, conform more to the image of Christ, wean more and more away from self and the world and from sin. This is God's will for all of us who are saved. Speaking of the great purpose of God and the salvation of all His people, Paul says in the book of Ephesians that they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's something we should be praying for as God's people. And then notice again at the end of verse number 9, the psalmist also prays, he says, "Let the saints," as it were, he says, "shout for joy." And by the Lord's presence and grace and worship, he was praying that God's people would be made glad and joyful. The psalmist in another psalm speaks of the Lord and His people, and he says, "In thy presence there is fullness of joy." And child of God, every time we meet together for public worship, pray that through the Lord's presence, through the Lord's grace, as God's people we would be made glad and joyful. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. David could say, I joyed when up to the house of God they went, there was joy in his heart. Speaking of the same joy, the hymn writer says, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. That's a blessing to God's people when they meet together and the presence of the Lord is known amongst them. Remember what it says of the disciples. It says they were glad when they saw the Lord. It's by coming together to worship the Lord, to focus upon the Lord in the midst of all the trials and the upheavals and the sorrows and griefs and heartaches of life and of this world that we can find joy and gladness as the people of God. That's why church is so important. That's why worship is so important. It's an oasis in the desert of this world for God's people. Something not to be neglected. Something not to be forsaken. Something we should cherish, something we should prize, something we should guard, something we should keep. And then something else, dear people, in praying for our seasons of public worship, we should also pray for the salvation of souls. What does the Bible say in Romans 10, verse 17? It says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And my God has promised to bless His Word to the salvation of souls." Yes, it has been said that the gospel is the chariot that brings Christ to the people. How we should pray to that end every time we come to worship when His Word is preached, that God would bless His Word and bless His truth to the saving of souls. I'm sure if I were to go around this congregation this morning and say, "Where were you saved? When were you saved?" Those of you who are Christians, I'm not going to do it, but if I was to do it, I'm sure there'd be many of you would say, "Yes, it was in a gospel meeting. It was through a word that I heard preached in church or at some meeting together of God's people." That's why the preaching of God's Word is so important. That's why it's so vital, dear people, that we support the preaching of God's Word. And as we close this morning, if you're in the meeting on saved, let me say this, that if you're to worship God aright, you must be saved. This means you repenting of your sin, trusting in Christ alone, a Savior. Praise God, all that is needed for you to be saved from your sins and to be right with God is through the person, it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says of Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Your sin can only be dealt with, taken away, by you putting your faith and putting your trust in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You think back to the first record of worship that we have in the Bible.
Back to the book of Genesis and to Genesis chapter 4. There you read about the worship of Cain and Abel. One was a right form of worship. One was a wrong form of worship. We read of Cain. He brought of his own works, his own labors before the Lord. And God rejected Cain. He rejected his worship. Why? Because he was depending on self. He was depending on man. Then on the other hand, you read of Abel. The Bible says Abel brought of the firstling of the flock. There was that animal sacrifice. The blood was shed. What was it a picture of? A picture of Christ. Abel's faith was in Christ. He was trusting in Christ, the heavenly Lamb who was to come for him and die for him upon the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says that Abel and his offering were accepted by the Lord. His worship was accepted on the grounds of the blood of Christ and the grounds of the blood of the Lamb. And my, that teaches you and I that if we are to worship God aright, our faith, our trust must be in Christ. Christ, the heavenly Lamb. That's the starting place to right worship with God. If you're not saved today, come to Christ, trust Him. Then seek to live for Him and worship Him day by day until Jesus Christ comes or calls you home to glory. We're going to close our meeting this morning. We're singing together the hymn number 619, another great hymn reminding us of the blessing of public worship. What a treasure there is in these great hymns. 619 on the page 426. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our care. 619, we'll stand as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here today. Bless Thy word and bless Thy truth to every heart. And Lord, as Thy people, may we be strengthened in our faith, in our walk with God. May we be encouraged in our service, in our worship for the Lord, and by our life and by our testimony, O God. May others too be pointed and directed to the Lord. Remember, O God, those in our meeting today not saved out of Christ. Lord, bring them to that place of redemption ground, to that place of saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us here as your people, as we meet week by week in Thy name around Thy word to worship Thee. May we know seasons of refreshing, seasons of blessing from the Lord, even in this 50th anniversary year, and that Thou would visit this house mightily and powerfully, Lord, with Thy salvation, and that Thou would add to the church, O God, even such as should be saved. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, take us now to our homes in safety. Journey with us, bless us throughout Thy day, and return us again in Thy will this evening hour, we pray, we ask, in Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.